Hey guys, this episode was brought to you by Audible. Go to audibletrial.com/SGC64 for a free audiobook. You'll be helping out the show, and we appreciate you listening.
Super Gamecast 64, episode 74. Today on the show, we're talking about the 2016 Game Awards, PlayStation Experience Year 3, all the announcements that came out, and some of the games that came out towards the end of the year here. Kevin, do you want to hit the DJ?
Actually, I was going to let Tyler hit it this time.
Oh, no.
Where's Tyler?
We lost one. DJ, go! Hey, guys. Welcome to episode 74. I'm your host, Matt.
I'm Kevin.
Something's not right here.
That was weird. What? Doesn't something normally happen after I say I'm Kevin?
I miss our other co-host.
I miss him too.
So Tyler is away for the holiday.
In the desert.
In the desert of yore.
Yeah. Where they decorate cactuses.
Cacti. Cactars.
They decorate cactuars.
He's having a great old time down in the land of the rising sun. He's not
Arizona.
There. Yeah, well, the sun does rise there. Kevin, we're going to forego our usual jokey bits in the beginning because we got quite a few entries.
We got some heavy content up in this.
So towards the end of the year, there's two things that happen. All the games get released.
And then everybody kills each other over the hot new item of the year. Hatchimals have come out, and I know your kids want one because y'all have kids, right?
If you have kids.
Is that what we're doing?
Hatchimals.
I honestly have no idea what they are. I've just heard of them.
Hatchimals, what I believe they are like little things that kids want inside an egg, and they hatch. So they're like hatchable animals.
Do they have to sit on it to like warm it up? Teach them the value of patience and hard work?
All I know right now is that if you actually wanted to go out and buy like an egg for a real animal, it's probably cheaper than buying it on eBay.
I legit saw somebody. They retail for like $35 or $40.
Yeah, under 50.
People have been selling them for like $120.
The highest I've seen is like $275. It's just tell your kids that Santa's being a little bit scummy this year. No hatchimals.
Get them a chicken.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing, except for it lasts way longer. So when your kid gets sick of their hatchimal you can be like,
I just got a great idea. Buy them a video game. See what I did there? We got new listeners.
Buy them a video game.
Hey, okay. So you were saying the Game Awards.
The Game Awards 2016. So if you're unfamiliar with the Game Awards, it's an online streamed show that kind of was birthed from the downfall of the Spike TV VGAs. The VGAs and both the Game Awards are hosted by what is known on the internet as the Dorito Pope, Jeff Keighley himself. Just type in Dorito Pope on a Google search and you'll have a good old laugh.
Yeah.
He used to be, he still is a games journalist, more kind of a figurehead, but it's his show and it's where there's announcements and they don't give out a lot of awards. I mean, they really don't at all, but there was a lot of stuff that came out this year.
Yeah, there was a ton of
stuff. You catch the show at all, Kev?
I did not. I read up on it a little afterwards. So.
It was an interesting show, and we're going to kind of take you piece by piece of how the whole show went. Let's start off with the stuff that actually happened before the kickoff. Bulletstorm, that's the old 360 game. Bulletstorm, I think it's called Classic or like Full Clip Edition or something. Mm-hmm. It's a remastered version. It features the Duke. The Duke himself. The Duke. Dukal Nukem. If you pre-order it, you get to play. I'm not sure if it's like its own thing, it's a Duke Nukem Bulletstorm like level, or if you just have Duke.
Maybe you get to play him as a character or something.
Yeah,
I never played Bulletstorm, so I don't know how that
Bulletstorm's a great game, but it's not worth $60, which is the rumored remaster price. It truly isn't.
For more info on remakes and remasters, check out our old episode we did on that.
Episode 66, I think it was.
I believe it was. Yeah,
remakes, reboots, and remasters.
We have a lot of heavy opinions about remakes and remasters,
and we'll get into that.
The fact
further.
That they're $60 is one of them.
Bulletstorm was a very fun game, but I don't think just up-resing it and putting in Duke Nukem that not a lot of people like. I mean, I'm a fan of Duke, but
you can put lipstick on a pig.
Yeah, but you can't make it any prettier. This is hard philosophical questions about whether or not the game that pretty much just it's all gratuitous violence. They give you points for like shooting someone's ass off.
Yeah, well, video games cause violence.
Yeah, no, I mean, everyone knows that. That's just complete fact. Death Stranding, speaking of the things that make complete sense, Death Stranding.
Oh, yeah.
So here's what happened. Kojima, Hideo Kojima of Metal Gear Solid fame, last year was going to be awarded, at the last Game Awards 2015, was going to be awarded the industry icon. Pretty much like the, hey man, you're a good game person. Problem was that Konami, the people who own the Metal Gear Solid franchise, would not let him go. They kind of, the best way to put this is that Konami had Hideo Kojima an extreme timeout.
I was going to say, what, they like tie him up or how?
They were just like, you can't go and make any public appearances based with your representation of Konami and stuff. They were pretty much just trying to dick him out of everything.
What I'm thinking is they went on the day of the video game awards or whatever.
Yeah.
They went into the office and they changed all the clocks to like 3 hours back.
And so he wakes up, he's like, what happened?
Hideo's sitting there at his desk and he's like, oh man, this is a long day. What's going on? Is it almost time to go?
Nope. He looks down at his still nano machines. Noon. Still noon. It's been 12 hours, but it's still noon. That's really weird. Did I fall into some sort of weird trance?
And then he looks down and he's got a baby connected to him by umbilical cord.
So the way the trailer kicks off, keep in mind, we don't know anything about this game. I'm assuming it's some sort of third-person action, because that's what Hideo Kojima does. Pretty sure it stars Norman Reedus as the playable character. But what this trailer is there is it's a man. He's got a little canister and he's walking.
Man with a can.
The man with the can, and the man with the can is Guillermo del Toro. literally, just it's Guillermo, I can't say his name, but it's the guy Guillermo. Who made Pan's Labyrinth and like Hellboy.
Yeah.
That director, good friends with Hideo Kojima.
Just call him GDT.
GDT, he's carrying a baby. Did you see the cool thing with the trailers lined up?
No, actually, I did not.
Okay, so let me finish what this trailer was.
Sure, sure.
So GDT, or, you know, DDT, whatever the fuck is wrestling. Yeah, DBZ, Extreme Xenoverse 4, was holding this canister, and then he kind of looks up at the camera, and then he, like, turns it, and a baby appears inside, and it's like, woo-woo-ba-ba. And then you go down this, you see, like, all these soldiers, and they have, like, weird tentacle shit. Kind of looks like Resident Evil 4, kind of. Mm-hmm. Kind of Resident Evil 5-ish. And then down this like kind of underpass in these sewers, you see like this dude, and he's got like all these soldiers around him, and then he lifts up his mask, and it's Mads Mikkelsen. He was the
Caecilius
from Doctor Strange. He's in a lot of stuff.
He's a fantastic actor. He was Hannibal's, in Skyfall.
TV's Hannibal. Yeah, yes. He was the villain of Skyfall as well.
He was fantastic.
He's a really good actor.
He really is.
He doesn't really say anything. He just like pulls up his eyes, and then he's just like, and then it just kind of ends. But here's the thing with the trailers. If you look at the original E3 trailer, which was the one with Norman Reedus on the beach with the baby and stuff, and you start them at the same time, the second that the baby disappears from Norman Reedus' hands on the beach, it appears in the bottle that Guillermo is. Yeah, so, I mean, that's cool.
I wonder if it's one of those things that's just a very, very, very unlikely circumstance.
Judging Kojima, no.
No,
I'm pretty
not.
Sure it was.
Certainly not. But
then the whole thing comes around to this is like, what was the point of the trailer? Like, Mads is part of the project. Like, he said.
Mads is like Kojima's BFF. He said. It's like his BF.
I saw it, I think I was on Kotaku or something, and it was like, Kojima explained the story of Death Stranding to Mads Mikkelsen. He's like, I kind of only understood some of it. Like, seriously,
I don't even speak Japanese.
But, yeah, it's just him and Kojima.
He just explained it the whole he knows the entire plot to Death Stranding.
Mads Mikkelsen comes in the room. It's just Kojima, nobody else. Stark white room. And he's like, I can't do Japanese. I don't speak Japanese.
Konnichiwa.
And he's like, konnichiwa, Death Stranding. And he's like, oh, fuck. He's like, was I supposed to bring my own translator? And he's like, that's the first puzzle.
The first puzzle
of Death Stranding is knowing
is
Japanese.
Interpreting the entire game. The entire game is just in Japanese.
Well, and that's the thing about this trailer is you said before we started recording, mm-hmm. or maybe it was on the show, GDR?
GDT? BFG, yeah, right.
BFG doesn't even want to be in the game, does he?
No, actually, he's got real beef with Kojima right now.
Why is Kojima fighting with George R.R.?
Well,
I thought they were like thick as thieves then.
They were for a little bit, and then
because they were doing PT together,
right? And since PT got shut down, GDT got real pissed at. Wow, we got a lot of acronyms here, guys. Keep up, GDT, Guillermo del Toro. We got pissed that PT, playable trailer, right?
For Sentinels.
Got shut down.
Well, I think he was more mad at Konami because he tweeted out, fuck Konami.
Right. I'm sorry. That's what I meant. My mistake.
No, he's mad at Konami, not at Kojima. Two different things.
My mistake.
Kojima the man, Konami the pachinko developer.
The other man.
The man. Let's move on.
The giant robot creator.
Well, actually, before we move on, I just want to gauge. How interested are you in this? Like,
in Death Stranding?
Yeah. I mean, I'm interested, but like, seriously, it's just going to be a third-person shooter.
Conceptually, I'm very interested in it, but I probably won't play it.
I mean, it's a cool thing.
Right.
But I literally own MGS5 and it's just sitting on my shelf for ages. I played it.
Right.
But
I'm almost more excited for the people that are excited about it because I know the people that really get into Kojima games really go hard.
And the thing is Kojima, when he was working at Konami, he was often on a leash, you could say.
Yeah.
So I really wonder if they're kind of just letting him have at it because then that could. Kojima's pretty fucking crazy.
Yeah.
It could be weird.
Yeah.
He's not like. What the fuck? Suda 51 crazy?
Yeah.
Like, but he could get there with no strings attached.
Yeah, I mean, he goes to some dark places sometimes.
Speaking of dark places, space, the final frontier. Who's our favorite space people? Guardians of Galaxy.
The Star Treks.
Star-Lord. Star Wars... Nope. We gotta cut the acronyms here in the jokes because it's gonna get hard to follow.
Well, GOG is getting
GOG from MCU is getting a TT franchise boot.
Which is kind of a PNC
bank?
PNC no, bank? PNC.
Oh.
Like with a D, you know, PNC with
a D. Yeah, PNC.
Yeah. PNC.
I'm
our
lost.
Buddy, our buddy Frankie PNC, you know, the guy that runs the deli down the street.
Guardians of the Galaxy is getting a Telltale. Which, you saw this coming.
Yeah.
Look around your house. What's the nearest thing you see that has a copyright, like, franchise? Telltale's gonna make a game of that. It's all just happening. It kind of falls like dominoes.
Propel, Energy Water.
Yep, that's it.
Telltale game coming
to,
next.
Well, it's gonna be a small series, kind of like the Michonne one. You can only pull so much out of the water. But that'll be probably fun.
The whole game is just you, okay, open cap.
Open cap.
Drink.
They
you
will
just
remember
have to
that.
Do that. You have to do that over and over again.
Every single time you drink, it's like they will remember that.
And then the final choice. In the game, the real like heartstring puller, you have to decide if you're going to throw it away in the garbage can
or
in the
recycle
kitchen,
it,
or walk around the corner to the recycling bin.
I was just going to fucking say that, but I wanted you to have the moment. It would have been funnier if we would have said it at the same time. It would have been like some cute thing. I'm going to hop a little bit ahead on the agenda here, just because Telltale also announced Walking Dead Season 3,
mm-hmm.
A New Frontier. I'll be honest here, Season 1, good stuff. Season 2, Season 3, we'll see. Because the Michonne thing... From what I've heard, does not work out so well.
I don't know. I
is it just me or did Telltale come out real strong and then kind of just not fail but plateau?
The thing is, when you get into the like, Telltale does some stuff that's nitty gritty storytelling. It's only for people that are seeking out more about an already popular franchise.
Well, yeah, because there's no original stuff from Telltale. No, I mean, that's the thing, because Clementine in Walking Dead Season 1 is completely...
But they had Game of Thrones, the Den of Vipers one. That was total peripheral story. I mean, it was helped... Martin helped write it, but it really didn't have a whole lot of impact on the universe itself.
Yeah, I'm only on, I think, episode 4 of 6 in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's definitely a lot of OC that's in those games, but at the same time, it's only for people who care to really delve into it. Like... You know, it's like if you were to go and read, The Dark Tower.
Yeah,
there's a supplementary book afterwards called The Wind Through the Keyhole that kind of brings everything full circle. Totally unnecessary to the story. It was written about 10 years after the final book was. So, you know,
here's the thing I think with Telltale is that unlike other developers, like even if you like Telltale, you're probably not going to enjoy a game. From Telltale as much as another one if you had already known the property. Like, just
right.
Because you like Walking Dead Telltale does not mean you're going to like Tales from the Borderlands Telltale if you haven't played Borderlands.
Exactly.
So that's where Telltale kind of, think, falters. I have a lot of Telltale games I still have to play through. Like, the Minecraft thing, I heard that was pretty good.
Yeah, no, I've heard very good things about that.
My
problem is with The Walking Dead, though, I think. Like, I read the comics after the first season was well underway.
Yeah.
Because my friend was like, oh, you really like this? Pick up the comics.
Yeah.
I read the comics. I burned through them in a weekend. And I kept up with them since. And I loved them. And then the show started just not being good to me.
And the show fell off around season 4, in my opinion.
That's what I've heard. And I'm kind of glad I didn't stick with it, because I get enough of the information from TV, you know, like Facebook
and
stuff. Yeah,
I'm up to date on Walking Dead only by talking to my friends Andy and Corey.
Right. I don't know. I used to love, like, zombie franchise stuff, and I just feel like it's kind of jumped the shark, unfortunately. So,
well, it is zombies, so that'll happen.
Right.
But yeah, Walking Dead season 3, the big reveal was that Clementine, the young girl you played in the first and then second more so season, is now like the main character. Really, she's all grown up and she's kind of badass looking.
There's still zombies?
There's still zombies. It's The Walking Dead. There's still zombies. Always going to be zombies in The Walking Dead. That's kind of the whole...
I mean, don't zombies need, like, fresh people to...
Well, there's still survivors they're feeding off of. I don't know the whole... this isn't the zombie... This isn't the zombie one. All right, we'll do that, like, next Halloween.
Okay.
We're
all
not
right. going to
do
okay.
that next
okay.
Halloween. Spooktober! Part 5! Zombie talk!
Gotcha, guys. This is Spooktober.
Fuck all this news. Yeah,
forget Christmas.
Pull the old Kojima and turn your fucking calendars back. You're like, why is it Halloween? It's snowing. Yeah, just real quick sidebar. It is literal nuclear winter outside
right
now. It's
so crazy.
We're based in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah.
Just outside. That lake effect really fucking us
good.
Dude,
Mother Nature's, like, if you go anywhere within 5 miles of here, there's nothing. There's not a flake on the ground. Mother Nature is literally like, fuck you.
This is a vendetta. A vendetta. Vendetta. Oh my God. Vendetta against us.
For whatever reason. I don't know. Maybe we're too good.
Well. I was going to make a political joke, but Dauntless, which
haters going to hate,
a free-to-play game.
Yes, this looks very cool.
Yeah, this got announced. It was like a trailer, kind of CGI trailer, had this archer girl running through a forest, and then like, oh, I'm going to... She's like, all of a sudden, here comes this other guy who's got a hammer, and he's using it to jump off. And you're like, oh, it's like a hero-based kind of thing. Not sure if it's a MOBA, if it's like a Overwatch.
It's actually an open... I guess it's open-world RPG.
That's kind of what I got the taste of.
Yeah, and you play as elite warriors who take down these behemoths.
Yeah, because it ends with like this giant thing that pretty much looks like the bird from Last Guardian coming down is like, rah! And then they're like, all right, let's make our weapons do cool things and we're going to fight this.
And then it cuts right before they...
Yeah, like every other fucking trailer. Yeah. Just like, here's a big monster. Look at the cool things our weapons do. Oh, and we'll see you guys next time.
And roll credits with the swipe.
Yeah, roll credits with the swipe and free to play. Not interested. No, I mean, I'll check it out.
That's actually why I'm interested.
Free to play?
Yeah.
I mean, it's got some... The devs behind it are pretty good. We had some people who worked on like BioWare, Mass Effect kind of stuff.
Rito.
Rito, Riot, that's League of Legends people. Should be pretty fun. Here's something that I'm looking more forward to. Prey. Prey? I want to gauge you on this. How are you? Are you interested in Prey? Do you know who it's made by?
No.
Would it change your mind if I told you that it's made by the same development team that does Dishonored?
Yes.
Okay, so Prey...
That would get me.
Prey... The story of Prey is very weird, just because Prey started off on 360 around launch, and you were a Native American man that could go into the spirit realm, and then aliens attacked the Earth.
Is this,
and then,
wait,
no,
are you thinking,
it was, no.
Are you thinking of Scientology, the game?
No, this is, like, literally, you would be, it was kind of stereotypical and a little bit racist, because your old grandfather would be like, Tommy, use your spirit form and activate your spirit hawk. And I was like, holy shit, that's fucking offensive. Like, yeah, legit.
Oh, no.
And then you would like be like, okay, here we go. And then you're taking off in your spirit hawk. And now you play as a guy who's got, I don't know, a virus or some shit. He's like a bounty hunter. You can become a cup. Like, you can change matter. Like, in the trailer, you know, he's like whipping out his guns. And I'm like, whoa, and here comes the big monster that in every trailer, like we just said. And then all of a sudden, he's just like... looking at a cup, and then he like transmutates into the cup and then rolls through, like, it's like a bank teller window. There's only a little slot and he wants to get on the other side of it, so he like focuses on the cup and then he just like rolls as the cup through the window and then lands on the side, and then I don't know, like,
and then poof, he's a man again.
No, like, I don't know,
where'd that cup go?
Yeah, but so here's what's weird is that I love Prey. I really like the franchise for whatever reason.
I love to Prey too. I just like to do it in private. I don't.
Religion podcast.
Welcome to Godcast.
Super Godcast. Super Godcast, Psalm Matthew 4:20. And let the earth give unto you the gifts in which you've taken.
Can you imagine if somebody just turned on the podcast and just so happened to, like, just buffer forward to just that one part, and they're like, wow, this is very not what I thought it was going to be.
Man, that was... And the Bible's thinly veiled about marijuana usage. That's super weird. So I'm interested in Prey, but honestly, I don't like Dishonored. So that kind of... And Arkane Studios, that's the guys behind it. They make great games. I really, really like the passion in it, but they're not for me. So I'm really hoping they don't turn Prey into Dishonored, because I don't want to play Dishonored. I want to play Prey. I just want to use my spirit form to access places that your body cannot.
You hurt my feelings.
That is a quote.
Once again,
use your spirit form to access places that your body cannot.
Why does he sound like Bane?
I don't fucking know. I don't know.
Yes. Me too, Batman. I was born in the shadows, and I will use my spirit form.
I'm stopping this right now.
Breath of the Wild.
Yes.
Looks like shit on Wii U. You said you wanted not shit, yep. And you just got more shit. So, Breath of the Wild looks like a great game. It looks like fantastic. I know you're super hyped for it. I'm super hyped for it. It seems like it's kind of going the way that Twilight Princess did, except the opposite. Everyone was like, ooh, GameCube version of Twilight Princess, way better than Wii version. Now it looks like the Switch version is going to be way better than the Wii U version, purely based on...
It makes sense.
It wasn't a trailer. It was like two guys from Nintendo Treehouse kind of sitting there and like, huh, we're going to play the game while trying to kind of be funny. I don't understand. Like, just show me the fucking game. I don't need these two
The people
jabronis.
That they pull for those things are usually really awkward. Is there some office pool? Like, did they win a prize or do you think they just go, hey, Tim, you talk good.
You talk good with your mouth, boy. Why don't you bring that mouth over here? Sit down in front of the camera, boy.
Why are they calling him boy?
Like, you said you talk well. Oh, no, I don't know. I'm fucking lost. We're only halfway through Game Awards. God. So Breath of the Wild looks like really cool. A lot of different stuff going on there.
I think one of the things I've noticed about Breath of the Wild, even on the Switch, there's this, I've talked about this before, there's this effect that occurs when you make contact with any weapon on a creature.
Yeah, you get really wrecked.
Well, yeah. No, there's like a freeze frame for just one frame. So it really shows the impact and it looks really cool. But it almost makes it more obvious that the frame rate is bad because that doesn't parse well.
Yeah, if you go and you watch it, like, this shit looked like it was pushing 25 frames. It did not look good. Like, it looks like a game that tried to get locked at 30 and is really struggling to pull
that
up to 30.
That sucks, because
what sucks is because the biggest tote of the game is that it's, like, vastness, and it's,
right.
And you cannot have a game that has an awesome draw distance and all these awesome places to go, and then it feel like you're playing a flipbook to get there. That's one of the worst things to
interrupt the game. I was really hoping to not have to buy a Switch at launch to play this game.
I mean, it looks like I'm going to buy a Switch at launch to play this game.
If they have a combo pack, I might do it.
And what pisses me off the most is that I can go down the street, as long as I make it through this goddamn blizzard, and I can buy a Wii U for $4 probably.
I'm just kidding. I wouldn't sell it for $4.
But the whole point is that the Switch is going to be so fucking hard to find.
Yeah.
Because it's launching in March. There's going to be a summer drought.
Talk about March Madness.
I like basketball, so I don't know. That's not even a joke. But then by the time that it gets back in stock, it'll be holidays. So the Switch will be fun next year. Let's hop off of Nintendo into something that looks and reminds us of what made Nintendo great. 8-bit platforming, and this is...
Boom, my boy Shovel Knight.
Shovel Knight, the prequel to it, it's called Spectre of Torment.
Yes.
You don't play as the Shovel Knight.
You play as James Bond in Spectre.
James Pond for the Super Nintendo. You remember that game?
No.
I remember that game in the weirdest context. The drug mart down the street used to rent games a long time ago, and I saw James Pond, and I was like, that's cool, I kind of want a Super Nintendo. Never played it. That's literally, like, it's the only image I have that game. It's just it's sitting on a shelf in a drug mart, kind of, like, busted up. And I'm like, what is a James Pond? Are you looking it up? You should look up James Pond right
now. I am. I actually am.
So Spectre of Torment, while he looks it up, is an 8-bit. It's hard to say 8-bit because it doesn't utilize an 8-bit palette.
Are you serious?
It's awesome.
What?
It doesn't utilize an 8-bit palette. It utilizes, like, an 8-bit art style. A lot of cool lighting effects and a lot of cool stuff like that. It's a punishing... It's a challenging platformer kind of action game. Think Mega Man with a little bit more focus on, like, collecting stuff.
Well, and the important thing to remember is that it doesn't rely heavily on projectiles, which I think is important to realize.
It's a lot of close
combat. Because that changes the entire gameplay style, I think.
Well, yeah, when you're sitting back and you're using your arm cannon versus having to go up there and shovel them to death.
Right.
But then again, I don't know, because Shovel Knight's thing was a shovel. I don't know about Spectre Knight Boy. I don't know about him. Do we have a word when that's coming out? I think early next year, right?
Yeah, early next year. Supposed to come out.
Probably all systems. I mean, the thing was... It's Shovel Knight's on Xbox, PS4, 3DS, phones. You'll find it.
Phones.
I mean, as long as you can run it.
Hey, don't make jokes, because when Bastion became very popular,
yeah,
they actually released it. You could play it on Google Chrome.
Really?
Yeah. Like, you didn't need any sort
of... Browser base?
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Damn. Shout out to Google for that. Shouts out to Microsoft on this one. Halo
Shout
Wars
out,
2.
Microsoft.
Uncle Microsoft... All right. Once again, Kevin, his uncle works at Microsoft, and his uncle told us before the PlayStation Awards started, he was like, guys, do you like Halo Wars? And I'm like, you know, Uncle Microsoft, Kevin's uncle, you're kind of too close right now. I'd appreciate it if you back up. He's like, all right, my bad.
And yeah, he's got some
distance issues. He took his hand off my knee, and he said, let me tell you about Halo Wars. And I'm like, I don't really like that. And he's like, it's okay. But there's a new trailer that's going to be announced at the Game Awards, and it's going to have the boss, the villain in it, and he's going to be a brute.
One of those Uncle guys Michael, like, you're getting a little close again.
Yeah, well, sorry.
That's okay.
I'm not Uncle Microsoft.
I know, but that's what happened in the story.
Oh, yeah, no, so. he got a little bit too close once again. He was leaning in very close. He was like, I'm going to tell you about this villain. He's got a hammer. I was like, can you please back up? And he's like, all right, sorry, bud. So Halo Wars has this new villain that you're going to see in this trailer. And then also, coming up soon, you know, in the next few months, bud, you're going to be able to play Halo Wars Remastered. Can you please back up? Okay, sorry. Halo Wars Remastered. And then he kind of kissed me on the cheek and walked away. And that's the first time I met your uncle, so it was kind of weird. But he did give us the scoop on Halo Wars 2.
It's his thing.
He just goes up to your friends and kind of, literally anyone. Just kind of half molests them and goes up to the Pope. He's like, hey, buddy, you want to hear about Halo 6?
Dorito Pope.
Dorito Pope? Jeff Keighley and your uncle just kind of fucking talking about Halo? Like,
Halo Wars, you just remember who told you.
He's like, all right, may the ranch be with you. So Halo Wars 2.
May your ranch be always cool.
May your ranch be forever cool, my child. The coolest ranch. The nachiest of cheeses. Let me direct you to this passage in the Bible, Matt 4:20. And let you sow the earth of the ranch and the 420. That was a bad joke. So Halo Wars 2 has a new trailer with a villain. He looks kind of okay. And then they announced that Halo Wars 1 Remastered, essentially, just for the Xbox One and the Windows 10 PCs, will be coming out soon. I think they said for those who pre-order mid-December access, so probably like around Christmas, and then those who didn't pre-order, I think it launches early January or late December. I could be wrong. Check the dates for me, because I don't do my job. But it's coming.
Speaking of the Pope.
Yeah, what, the Dorito Pope or the normal Pope?
Both.
Okay. Confusion.
They conduct a service for people that want to hear the good word.
Yeah.
Whether it's about tasty, flavor-dusted tortilla chips or Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, they're the same.
Well...
commonly referred to,
those sweet and spicy chili Doritos are totally my god.
This congregation of people is commonly referred to as Mass.
Yeah,
effect Andromeda.
Damn, dude,
how you like that?
I for a second I was really confused as to how you're transitioning, and then right as you said the word, I knew. That's usually how transitions work. Mass Effect Andromeda first gameplay.
That was my Kojima style transition.
Yeah, very very obtuse. Just too long. Wasn't very good. pulled away from the overall meat of what makes mm-hmm. the experience mm-hmm. good.
Right.
Metal Gear Solid.
And it brings you right back in.
Yeah. Mass Effect Andromeda. So we don't know a whole lot about this game. Mm-hmm. Story-wise, I mean, obviously you're not playing as Mr. Shepard.
From the screenshots and trailers, you can see that all the aliens are the same and stuff.
You know what I did like is that as the trailer, because Mass Effect has been a game where you can play as a male or female, but especially Mass Effect 3, the female voice acting was actually better. For Andromeda, all of the gameplay they've showed, it's a female protagonist.
Cool.
Which I like that a lot, because it shows that they're not ignoring the fact that a lot of people wanted to play as a female, and it actually turned out pretty well.
Right.
So, I'm sure you don't have to play as her. You can probably play as a male version or probably a customizable character, but I don't know what the story is.
Mm.
The only thing I'll say is that I wish there was newer stuff. Okay? There's the dude, the Krogan guys, the big beefy guys. Yep. You got your Asari. Pretty much all the races that were in Mass Effect 1 and 2 are like represented here. But the whole point of Mass Effect Andromeda is that, like, I've already played Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3. Give me something good to eat. I want to see, like, the galaxy. I want to see the lore, the extended universe, right? Like, Star Wars is cool, but if you're just shooting Ewoks in trees, after a while, it's kind of offensive, you know? Yeah, you've got to shake it up. You can only blow up a giant Death Star so many times before people start to get sick of it and notice that you're retracing your steps. And it's seven movies of that, it seems to be the consensus.
My only concern with that is I feel like it'd be really hard for them to shoehorn an entire new set of races.
Yeah, all you have to do is be like, oh, we're in a different galaxy, shit!
Yeah, but I feel like the whole point of Mass Effect was that they, like, could go to different systems and stuff, like...
Well, yeah, they can, but it's just, like, it would make sense if it was... I don't know, man. I'm just saying I would like for there to be more content, not content reused to tell a new story. It's just different. It's, like, it's the reason that, like, Halo shied away from using Master Chief for the same time. Like, we're still in the Halo universe.
Right.
Like, you really can't tell that you're not playing.
No longer Mr. Chef.
Yeah, no longer the chef boy master. All right, sidebar real quick, because we're going to start going into PSX. Here we go again. Real quick.
Sidebar.
Sidebar. I can't remember if I've told this story on air before, but I really want to tell it. Mr. Chef
Boyardee.
Yeah, that's it for Game Awards stuff.
Yes.
Before I tell the story, let's gauge you on the Mass Effect. Are you excited? I don't even know how... did you like the first?
You know what? To be honest, I've only played parts of all of them.
Two's the best.
To be clear, though, those parts were awesome. Like,
yeah.
Everything I've played in regard to Mass Effect has been amazingly good.
I'm not a huge, huge proponent of RPGs in general, but yeah, I've played all three of them and beaten all three of them. Our friend of the show, Blake, is a super fan of Mass Effect. Mm-hmm. He was just... I think he's actually on Mass Effect 2 or 3 now. Mm-hmm. He's been replaying it for no good reason, getting amped up. But, so... Long time ago, galaxy far, far away, I worked at a retailer called GameStop, and we had a manager at GameStop, and his name was Eric, okay? Eric hated Halo. He hated it with all of his fucking guts and glory, okay? He really wasn't a fan of Halo. The Halo 3 launch happened to be right by his birthday. So, my other manager, Jim, great friend. You worked with him, I believe. Jim F. I'm not trying to say last names on the show for people who aren't, like... You worked in the same building as him, at least. You and Dylan did.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So Jim called up the giant eagle that was, like, literally you could spit on it from our GameStop and ordered a cake, okay, for his birthday and for the midnight launch. It was supposed to say, Happy Birthday, Eric, from Master Chief. And literally the giant eagle people put, Happy Birthday, Master Chef. Which made it the best purchasing decision.
Happy birthday, MasterChef.
Happy birthday, MasterChef. So not only did it not work for the Halo thing, it only worked as a joke between like us three and four who were working at the time.
That's hilarious.
It was real good. And I just don't know how someone cannot hear chief, they hear chef. It's like too, I understand close.
Maybe they just couldn't figure out where to put the I. So just like, fuck grammar, I'm going to write chef.
It's a chief. How much not schooling do you need to not know how to spell chief versus
You'd be
chef?
Surprised.
Is like Giant Eagle going into the kindergartens like, and plucking them nubilely?
Well,
and
what like, if they, you're gonna be what great. If they wrote it CHEIF and they're like, oh shit, and they had to scrape it off with a knife?
and then
put the frosting on?
Just imagine they put the I in the wrong place and the person looks down at the cake, looks at their knife, goes, fuck, and then just kind of scoops the icing and then licks it off the knife and goes, yeah, good enough.
We'll ship it. I was going to fix it, but it looks okay.
Ship it. We'll patch it later. Speaking of things you can patch later.
We'll fix it in post-baking.
Post-baking. That's my favorite part of baking. PlayStation Experience. This is their third or fourth year in a row now. Mm-hmm. They're really trucking along. Still trying. Hey, more power to
everybody's got those cool press events now.
Except for Microsoft.
It's the new...
Capcom's got one. Microsoft doesn't.
Well, not everybody...
Nintendo.
Not everybody can live up to the live Doom music, okay?
Okay, that shit was raw. It was pretty good.
They're going on tour.
Yeah, let's just hop back to the Game Awards. My favorite moment of the Game Awards was when Ted Price of Insomniac came out after. There was a few musical guests. One of them was the people who did the Doom soundtrack. They were just fucking ripping, progressive, like metal, just so hardcore. It was a really good show. They looked awkward as fuck, but it was really good music.
Yeah, that's right.
And then as they're walking off, you know, they're rock stars, kind of. They're feeling rock stars. So the drummer's throwing his drumsticks into
his
audience.
Old drum set.
He's just throwing the drum set. And Ted Price, they're like, now introducing Ted Price from Insomniac Games. The guy who runs the thing that they made Ratchet and Clank. So mm-hmm. Ted Price comes out. And literally, he's trying to announce this shit. He's trying to start his announcement of the next Game Lord. And from off screen, you see fucking drumsticks flying past Ted Price's head. And I immediately started screenshotting the shit, so I have a perfect image. I'll throw it up on Twitter. It's just like Ted Price trying to announce something with a fucking drumstick beaming past his head. Probably the best shit. He has got a fucking flat face. I'm just like, I can't believe I fucking came here for this shit. Jeff Keighley owe me so many goddamn Doritos. PlayStation Experience. They started off the show. Marvel vs. Capcom Infinity.
Yep. I'm not a fighter.
You're a lover. I am a fighter. Marvel vs. Capcom is not necessarily my franchise of choice, but what is interesting about this is that they didn't go Marvel vs. Capcom 4. There's a lot of stuff that's surrounding this game. First, I just want to address the point is that they think they're not going to be doing anything that isn't included in the MCU.
I was just going to ask, do you think it has to do with the hype train of the Infinity Wars?
Well, the problem is that when you look back at Marvel vs. Capcom, a lot of the X-Men character make up the backbone of that series, and they're not going to have them, is the rumor.
That's weird.
I don't know.
I remember the cabinet games where you could tag in, and then they'd have the super moves for your, you know, like...
So what it is it's
Cyclops would blow a beam across the...
Yeah, it's essentially, before Marvel vs. Capcom had three players, you'd have three of them in two and three, right? It was two, just two people. Regardless, now it's tag. So instead of having three people you sub in, it's just you and another person.
Okay.
And you, like, press the bumpers, and then, like, Dr. Doom would come in and shoot his missiles out his ass. Or,
right.
You know, Cyclops, like I said, would come and do a beam thing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know exactly what they're trying to do with this. It looks cool. It doesn't look like a giant upgrade visually from Marvel's Capcom 3, at least in the art style.
Mm-hmm.
But what I believe this is Killer Instinct of Marvel vs. Capcom.
Gotcha.
So instead of, like, Marvel vs. Capcom 4, wow, this roster's cool. Marvel vs. Capcom 5, it's now... This is now Marvel vs. Capcom for the current gen. And they'll just add characters like they do Killer Instinct.
Right, okay.
It's
interesting.
Well, but it makes sense because right now, if you drop the game right now, you can put all the people from Winter Soldier and all, you know, everybody in there.
Yep.
And then in, you know.
Like, let's say it dropped earlier this year and then Doctor Strange comes out.
Then you can add Doctor Strange. Yeah. You know, then you can start adding Captain Marvel. She's
That'd
already
be cool.
in it.
That'd be really cool.
It'll be interesting to see their pricing, what they're trying to do with that. We'll have to wait and see, because Marvel has sucked before. There was a whole snafu with some licensing that actually pulled it off of the store. I don't know if you remember that.
No,
They lost their licensing, Capcom and stuff. I don't fucking know. It was confusing, so we'll just have to see. Hoping for the best, but prepared for the worst. Here's a big thing. We're going to skip over some of the earlier stuff, and I just want to jump right to this. Because when we did our episode 64, Nostalgia, this got brought up quite a bit.
Yeah, it did.
If you haven't heard that, go back. It's like a two-hour extravaganza.
It's a good episode.
Completely scored with all the video game music of the games we talk about. This is Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy. They teased it at E3. They're like, Crash is coming back. It's a full remaster. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is it's a full visual upgrade. It's a remake is what it is, essentially. They remade Crash 1, Crash 2, and I think Crash Warped. And, yeah, you can play them all on PS4. Not made by Naughty Dog.
You can collect all those Wampa fruits.
Get all of those Wampa fruits. It's not made by Naughty Dog. That's a very clear thing. They made some other Crash Bandicoot games before. I forget what the hell the studio's named. But I'm not that worried, because all they have to do is get a visual upgrade and maintain the engine without messing up a lot of it. If they're making it from scratch, I'd be like, okay, but... What do you think about this? You were a big fan of the Naughty Dog classic Crash Bandicoots.
I'm worried that it won't hold up.
Are you worried about it?
A little, yeah.
Do you want to talk about it?
No.
All right, well, that's the whole point of the show, but...
I'm done. I'm worried that, you know, like...
You're going to play five levels and then say, fuck this shit.
Yeah, like, because I love that as a kid, but I wonder if it's because I was a kid. You know what I mean? It's not that I think that it's for kids or anything like that.
No.
It's just that I had a lot more patience for things back then that you know, like, I would play it for the sake of playing the game, not necessarily because I liked the story or it was immersive or anything like that.
And that's the thing about Crash versus, like, something like Spyro the Dragon or Ratchet and Clank, is that there's a thin kind of continuing storyline, but really what it's about is the gameplay.
Yeah.
So Crash, I think, is one of those games that is very, very affected by rose-tinted goggles and the nostalgia glasses. I play Crash for, like, an hour, and then I go, okay.
Yeah.
I don't think I need all three of them. But if the price is right, mm-hmm. and it's not like $60, yeah. which at this point, here's the difference between remaking Bulletstorm and remaking this. They spent enough time to completely remaster it up to what modern standards are.
Right.
It looks amazing.
Really?
Graphically. Oh my God, it looks fantastic. You'll have to just look up a screen on your phone real quick. It looks fantastic. You can charge $60 because this is three games completely visually remastered. Pull up the trailer or something, man. Just put it on silent and check it out real quick. It is looking to be cool, but once again, you know, I don't know if the franchise will stick around. I don't think they did anything gameplay-wise, and I really don't think they should, but we'll see if it stands the tale or
stands the test of time.
Yeah,
my phone
you.
Just auto-corrected Bandicoot to Nancy Coot.
Well, Nancy, we're on to you, and get out of our phones.
You better
hacker.
Watch out, Nancy. You hacker.
You, Sombra.
I know you're a watchdog.
Gravity Rush 2, single-player trailer. Gravity Rush 2 is a game that's coming out on PlayStation 4. Was on PlayStation Vita.
I loved Gravity Rush.
The first Gravity Rush. See, I didn't play Gravity Rush. Tell me, is Gravity Rush 2 on Vita, or is this a new game that's being released on PS4 and Vita at the same time, or was it already on Vita and is now getting released?
I am almost certain that it's being released on both platforms.
Because Gravity Rush
1
was very
was only on Vita, and it was awesome. It was a lot of fun. I think didn't they move it to PS4?
Yeah, they did.
Just a blast. Like
it's on my queue, my game.
It's another one of those things where the story. It's okay. You know, the story's all right. The gameplay is just so much fun. You just have to not have motion sickness.
I mean, that's what I heard. It's very much like, whoa, platformy kind of thing. So there was a new trailer that showed off some new single-player content. Looks pretty cool, but nothing more than that. Just showing off some new stuff. That's dropping, I believe, February or January. It's first 3 months of 2017, for sure.
It does look great, by the way.
Yeah, you seeing that?
You can see the hairs on his ass.
Yeah, like, they it looks like when you jump from claymation to like what Disney movies look
like. Yeah, right.
I mean,
right.
It looks just as good as, like, not as good as Zootopia, but that kind of attention to detail with the CGI and that kind of stuff. Speaking of remasters, Parappa the Rapper, Patapon,
love it,
Loco Roco, all being remastered and shipped onto PS4. Here's where, once again, this is why we had the whole episode about the word remaster.
Right.
Because
I would say that's required listening at this point.
Gravity Rush, or not Gravity Rush, Crash Bandicoot Remake. But they call it the Insane Trilogy or whatever.
Right.
They come out and they say, Parappa and Loco Roco and Patapon are being remastered for the PS4. And you would think they're like, oh my God, it's being remastered. It's just they're moving the system. They're moving it to make it work on PS4. Not a huge visual upgrade. I mean, it looks cool at 68 frames, and Parappa's good. Yeah. The thing about Parappa that's important is that the latency they managed to kind of deal with.
Right.
At least in the demo, it seems okay. I don't know. You played Patapon Loco Roco. I didn't have a PSP that long. Good. I know. Patapon is really cool.
I played a lot of Parappa the Rapper, too. And I
was a big fan of
Parappa. Loved that game, man. That game was, my best friend and I still, like, quote that game constantly. It's so much fun.
Kick, punch, it's all in the
mind.
Yeah. I mean, that shit's so good.
So good.
What's your favorite level from Parappa 1?
Ooh, probably the driving test.
The driving test? It was either the driving test for me or the, what is he? Is he a grasshopper? Or mm-hmm. the flea market?
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. I mean, kick, punch, it's all in the mind.
Yeah,
the first one,
like,
is it. But, yeah. Press and turn the signal to the right.
That was
press
like the
and turn the signal to the right.
That was like the entry level DDR, you know.
It very much was
for your thumbs.
You know what I want to do actually, real quick, just because in case you haven't heard it, I mean, this stuff is lit. Let's get like a 10-second clip of the kick punch. Ready?
Yeah.
It's all in the mic. If you wanna test me, I'll show you fine. The things I'll teach ya, be sure to teach ya. Nevertheless, you'll get a lesson from teacher.
And then, wait, you said the driving test one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I can get that real quick.
Check and turn the signals to the left. Check and turn the signals to the left. Now turn to the left. Now turn to the left. Whoa, ho, 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 stop the car.
And then just for good measure, the flea market one as well.
I'm working in the flea market so early. I've been working here since my mama was a baby. Just because the rhythm is slow, that don't mean that you can't flow. In the rain or in the snow.
In the rain or in the snow. Got the
damn, that's some good nostalgia.
For those of you that aren't familiar, it's a rhythm game where you had to hit the buttons on the PS1 controller when it was out to the rhythm of and following. It's like Simon Says.
Yeah, so like
the game Simon.
He'd be like, kick, punch, it's all in the mind, ba ba da ba da ba da ba da ba da. And now repeat after me, kick, kick, punch. And then you'd have to be like, square, square, triangle.
That's like the whole with idea. The same rhythm of it. It's fun. It's very fun.
It's a good fashion time. And then Patapon, Locoroco are kind of like little fun, not tactical games. They're cute. They're very unique, I would say. Yeah. But those are going to be available on PS4. Here's something that everyone was waiting for. I can't, you know what? Actually, I'm going to put it at the end. At the end because it's that cool.
I've never played the first one.
I don't want to spoil it. Let's jump over. Resident Evil 7 final demo got released. This is the same demo that popped up a while ago at E3, but now they've updated it where you can open a door and, like, I know you're giggling because you're like, oh, wow, you open a fucking door, wow.
In this trailer, we show you the door opening maneuver.
You can open a door, but the mansion, much bigger. You actually can get a gun, fight an enemy, and escape. And we found out what
So it's a demo now.
Okay. And there's a cool thing where if you use the dummy finger that no one knew what you're supposed to do with, you're supposed to put it on a hand, and then you go around the house, and if you point the hand at certain places, you hear a giggle, and that's where the murders were in the house. And then it unlocks something called the dusty coin or a dirty coin that can be transferred into the main game to unlock
things. That's neato.
Yeah, it's really cool. And this demo has a very PT feel to it, even more so than the original one did.
Yeah.
It's worth a play. And once again, something I need to tell you guys, in case you're unaware, Resident Evil 7 demo stuff, none of it's in the main game. So if you want to play Resident Evil 7 demo and you're like, oh, I don't want to spoil anything, like nothing that's in the demo is going to be in the main game. That's what they're saying. Who knows if they're lying, but it's its own experience. So check it out.
How many games get that high in terms of sequels? Like, 7 is pretty...
And 7 is only the number. We're not counting like Operation Raccoon City, Code Veronica. Yeah. They're about on like 12 or 13 now.
I realize Kingdom Hearts is probably one of those games.
Kingdom Hearts also, yeah. There's a lot of big franchises. Mario's on, it's like 30th or 40th at this point, but...
I think the numbering convention for Kingdom Hearts has just completely gone up.
Yeah, because now they're like 2.8, and you're like, shut the hell up.
2.8.
That release date got announced just like moments before we started recording.
Yep.
Remember what it was?
Not
off. Just grab it while I talk about this next one real quick. We'll do Ni No Kuni 2. Ni No Kuni 2.
Ni No Kuni is a cool game.
Ni No Kuni is a cool game. It has like the whole Ghibli, the whole Studio Ghibli animation style. The problem is the first one took so long. It was just so laborious. It took a while. You moved kind of slow. Now, maybe that was just me. But interested to see what they do with the second one. I mean, it was a good a JRPG, but... I'm not a huge fan of JRPGs. Did you play Ni No Kuni 1?
January 24th is 2.8.
January 24th for Kingdom Hearts 2.8.
Correct.
Right around the corner. And that I think that has like Birth by Sleep and some stuff.
Yeah.
It doesn't have 2. Just so you know, it does not have Kingdom Hearts 2. Don't be confused because you think...
What about the gummy ship one?
Kingdom Hearts 1?
No. There was like, wasn't there a game that was completely devoted to the gummy ships?
Here's my Kingdom Hearts play: about 5 hours of one, and then maybe 30 minutes of two, and then I went, no.
It's another one of those games that I think is a fantastic game, and I get really excited for the people that get really excited about it.
But oh yeah,
I didn't get to play it when it was popular, so I didn't get on that hype train.
Well, here's the thing: is that if you want to go back and play Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, by the time 3 rolls around, you don't have a complete story. You have to play through... If you really want the story, you have to play through 1.5, 2.5, and 2.8.
Right.
PS3 remakes, and then the PS4 one. And then you'll kind of understand, kind of. But even then, like...
It's like Final Fantasy 15.
Kind of.
You need to see Kingsglaive, and even then, you may not.
Let's just say that in 2.8, they've taken like the Game Boy Advance game. Instead of remaking it, they just boil it down to like a 3-hour cutscene. They're just like, this is what happened.
Watch a movie while you play your video game.
Well, watch a movie instead of playing your video game.
Yeah.
When you buy the video game, which is pretty funny. So yeah, Ni No Kuni 2, we'll see what's going on with that. January 24th for the... What we were just talking about that I forgot.
Yep.
Near.
Far. Wherever you are.
No, Near Automata.
Oh.
This got a release date. Bad.
I thought we were doing a recitation of My Heart Will Go On.
No. You want to try?
Nah.
Yeah, me neither.
Let's save it.
Near!
Let's save it for the New Year's episode.
The Titanic episode?
Yeah.
Ah, we're doing a Titanic episode, I guess, now. That's not what our first episode in January is going to be. I'll tell you about that later. Yeah, so Let It Die. Near. Release date.
Near.
Do you have the
final? No, I don't have
the Nier list. No, Nier Automata is, if you played the one on 360 and PS3, it was a Western RPG, kind of weird, very eclectic, kind of random stuff, but Nier Automata is
The fighting system was cool.
Yeah, but it's just very weird. Nier Automata isn't necessarily like a continuing sequel, it's just another one in that series. PS4 and I believe Xbox One as well. I'm pretty sure it's spring. Kevin will have you the exact date in a second. But that's looking cool. If you're a fan of the first one, definitely check it out. If not, I mean, it might be worth checking out.
The release for North America is March 7th.
March 7th. No, a little bit further than I thought.
A little far out. But
here's something. Yakuza, one of the games, is getting a remake. I'm so lost on the Yakuza series.
Yeah, it's just an up-res, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, the Yakuza 0 is also coming out, starting up this year. 2017, I should say. That's looking cool. Yakuza is a whole thing. Like, if you like Yakuza, or if that news, you're like, whoa, they're remaking something, just go play one of the PS3 Yakuzas, or the new one that's coming out. You'll understand, and then look it up a little bit more. Did we ever find out what Dreadnought was?
Dreadnought is a multiplayer space battle, like, massive multiplayer space battle game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of EVE Online? No.
EVE or
Valkyrie?
Elite Dangerous.
Elite Dangerous?
Like, things like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds cool. That's going to be a PS4 thing, definitely. What did I skip over? Oh, Let It Die. Let It Die. I was just going to talk about it. You have no clue what this is, but what this is it is a free-to-play, rogue-ish? I don't know how to explain it. So you start off and you pick a character, you know, you pick your dude or whatever, and you're going into this dungeon, and the dungeon has, like, 40 towers, or not towers, 40 levels or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
As you progress, you get stuff. But if you die, that's it. It's game over. You can go back and reach the same point that you died and then fight that. You fight like your ghost, and mm-hmm. then maybe you'll get a singular drop of what you had. But it's brutally difficult. It's made by Suda51, Grasshopper Manufacturer, the people who did, like, No More Heroes, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, No More Heroes.
There's great. A lot of really cool stuff going on. The premium currency is called Death Metal. It's really cool. But what I like about it is that it's a free-to-play game, but it's not pay-to-win. There is really no way to pay-to-win at this point.
I like that.
There's some stuff that's missing, it seems, in the store and whatnot. Some equipment, some items to come. But free-to-play, it's not. It's got a lot of good ideas going on there. There's a lot of cool stuff. I don't know if it'll flesh out, but it's worth looking
at. Let's hope, yeah.
Yeah, Let It Die, pretty dope. And before we give away our big reveal, let's just talk about The Last of Us Part 2.
Yes.
Did you like The Last of Us when it first came out?
Yeah, no, I liked it enough. I didn't play through it.
Were you on its dick like everybody else?
No.
This is what I feel bad, because everyone was always like, Last of Us is a masterpiece of storytelling. And I'm like, look, dude, you just take a little girl around, and you find her ladders, and then you push her around on a little floaty, and then you strangle some people, and then it's pretty. That's all it is.
And it's an exclusive.
It's exclusive.
I don't really do exclusives.
I mean, it's a good game. Naughty Dog is good. Good time. Very tense storytelling, mm-hmm. a decent story, but oh my god, that game takes so long to go through. It feels once again laborious,
mm-hmm.
because you're just Ellie's like, I don't know how to swim, and you're like, just swim across the thing.
What was that game? I'm gonna really struggle with this one. You played
Ico.
Between two different characters. One of them is named Monkey, or no, you played as Monkey. It was like Journey to the West or something like that.
It was starting to sound really familiar.
And you're playing in like this old, like dilapidated city that's
covered Kubo and the Two Strings.
Yes. Nailed it.
Kubo and the Two Strings. I saw that, by the way. Ooh. This shit is so good. This shit is
a good
super
movie.
Tight.
It's a good movie.
The Last of Us Part 2 is obviously a continuation of The Last of Us, except for in this, it takes place a little bit further. They didn't say exactly how far, but Ellie is all grown up. She's grown up from like the 12, 13, 14-year-old girl she is now, or was then. She's probably like 19, 20, I would imagine, 21 maybe. Looks a little bit gruff. And pretty much Sony's come out and said, hey, Ellie is the main character. She's the one you're playing as. And there's really no context for the situation of what's going on besides Ellie looking up. She's like, she's playing the guitar over this dead body. And she's like, bing, bing, bing. And she's like, and I'm singing because it's all depressing. And then Joel walks up and he's like, what are you doing, kiddo? She's like, I'm going to kill all of them. And it's like Last of Us 2. And I'm like, but who are you killing?
Just the second everyone? To Last of Us.
The second to the Last of Us, part this 3. This is the game I Enslaved to. Odyssey to the West. Jeez, that game was so good. My hat fell off, but God.
It was good, but there were points in it where it was just like, come on.
Yeah, I know, but Enslaved Odyssey to the West.
That was a sleeper hit, man.
So good. Play that game if you haven't.
Sorry for the derail.
No, it's okay. We are going to go into ad roll here soon, but we got to drop this bomb. The best PlayStation experience year 3 announcement. Kevin, can you just tell me how much you can't wait for this game?
For what?
Neck 2?
I didn't play Neck.
No one did. Let's go with ads. This show is brought to you by Audible.
Only ads.
All the shows are brought to you by Audible.
Yeah.
You've heard us before. We'll tell you again. If you want a free audiobook of your choice, you go to audibletrial.com/SGC64. You get a free audiobook of your choice. Once again, it's audibletrial.com/SGC64.
I have a question for you, Matt.
Go for it, bud.
So, you know, when I'm going online, I'm signing up for all the free trials that I can.
Yeah.
I get to a point where I have to pull out my credit card.
Correct.
And I stop.
Yeah.
I can't pay for that shit.
Well, here's the thing, is that like a Netflix,
mm-hmm.
like a Hulu Plus,
yeah.
right? Because you guys have done this. You go and they give you a free 30-day trial, mm-hmm. right? You mm-hmm. don't pay anything, but they just... The idea is that... Here's the whole thing that these advertisers do is that they hope that you just... You'll like the service and you'll continue.
Right.
And then that way, your stuff's already on.
Or you're 90 and you forget.
Or you're 90 and you forget. But most people would want to assume that you like the service, and you continue going.
That sweet pension.
And you don't... Just really laying back. And just really, hey!
I drink your pension!
Your pension's mine!
I drink it up!
So... They assume that you're going to like the service, and then that way you won't have to put in your credit card next time you rolls around. But Audible, it's free. It's free.
Completely.
You do have to sign up for the service because it is a service. Let's explain the service real quick. What it is you want to go get an audiobook, right?
Yep.
You want to go get an audiobook. You're really interested. Go to the store. It's like $50.
Yep.
It's not a joke. Like
you could literally go to a bookstore and buy it on tape – or not tape. Wow.
CD.
On CD and – it would be really expensive.
Or you go on iTunes or whatever, and it's
and
like,
it would still be really expensive.
It's like $45.
And you don't even get the little plastic CDs.
No, it's some of the ones we've recommended on the show before that you can get for free have been upwards of $35.
Right.
The point is that if you're a fan of audiobooks and you're sick of paying out the nose for each one, you can sign up for audio baby. That was a joke from last time. You can sign up for Audible using the URL Audible Trial. Oh, fuck. audibletrial.com/SGC64. And what it basically is that each month you pay $16.
Yep.
And you get a free audiobook. I mean, it's a $16 audiobook, but the idea is that you're saving a lot of money by using Audible.
That being said, if you don't want to spend every month, you can still get the free trial from us and cancel it immediately if that is your
If you want a free audiobook, you go to audibletrial.com/SGC64. You fill out the thing. You sign yourself up for the 30-day trial. No excuses, guys. You do this shit with Netflix for your 7-day trial. Pop in your PayPal, your credit card. It's an Amazon company, so they're not going to steal your stuff. If you're worried about like someone jacking your shit, it's not. It's an Amazon company, so good luck with that.
And if that's not your bag, I have a wonderful new company to report. That's also sponsoring the show.
Let me finish real quick before you jump into that. So you just go, you put in your credit card info, you just sign up for the service. Your first month is free. You download your free audiobook, and then you go my account and you cancel your subscription. It's that simple. We've been doing this for years, guys. This is how you get free stuff. If you want something for free, and we're talking about $25 to $30 value here, and your choice. It's not like you're picking from like 2 or 3 or 4. Like there's hundreds and thousands of books to choose from. You got to throw it down the line. We've seen a lot of you guys checking it out, but not a whole lot of people signing up for it. So you really just
trust that Amazon won't screw you out of the $3 you have in your bank account. We're all poor. We're all poor, guys. We're all poor. If you're born in the 90s, we understand.
You know what? But better yet, go get a free book about economics and learn how to not be
go
poor.
Go to the library.
Just get
check out a book about economics and then sign up for Audible with what you've learned.
Just get an edumacation.
Get an edumacation.
And if that doesn't work, yeah, you can tell sign me about up this for my one. New company. So, Matt, do me a favor. Ask me how Audio Baby is doing.
How is Audio Baby doing?
It went under.
How about BurnBot?
The BurnBot fell in love with my microwave.
Oh, shit.
So it is no messy. Longer. It's very messy.
Okay. Very so messy. Audio Baby didn't work out. BurnBot didn't work out.
But with the proceeds that I got from those, I was able to hire a voice actor to read books for me.
Oh, okay. Is it a professional voice actor like the ones that they use at Audible? You got Will Wheaton and the rest? No. Okay, no. So it's not a professional. All right, but okay, let me hear.
No, it's a guy who did the automated recordings at Home Depot that tell you where they need help, like the desks. Oh,
okay. So that sounds not as all right, but
and it's only can be played at 3x speed. So
well, if you want to get something done quick, that's the best way to do it.
Right. Nothing like listening to a book that took 5 years to research in 6 hours.
Yeah, I mean, plus 2.5 is almost unintelligible, so three, you're going
to
get it.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like listening to an auction.
Yeah.
In fact, that's who's reading it. That's why it's only stuff.
It's an auctioneer times. Guy an auctioneer. Who did the Home
it's
Depot.
It's not a voice actor.
Okay.
Yeah, well, yeah.
All right. And so how much does this cost?
This is $39.99.
A week?
Three times.
$39.99, three times.
Three easy payments of $39.99.
Three easy installments, no shipping.
Yeah.
And you can get how many different audiobooks are you... offering right now?
We have tens of audiobooks.
Coming to my gala, friend. I have tens of books that you can
we
look
have
at.
Almost one whole shelf worth.
Tens of books. It's not even a shelf. That's barely like a cupboard. What are you doing? You can't have 10 audiobooks written by an auctioneer and that is fucking $100 to get one.
Stop shitting on my company.
I'm not shitting on your company. I'm just saying we have Audible that sponsors us, audibletrial.com/sgc64.
Audioauction.com.
Audioauction.gov?
Yes. Okay. Audioauction.edu.
So you can go to audioauction.gov.edu and you can try out Kevin's amazing service for $39.99. Three easy installments of that. Or you can just go to audibletrial.com/sgc64, pick out a free audiobook that's read by professionals, not auctioneers. It's completely free.
And you'll help out the show.
Yeah.
You'll help us out.
Oh my God, yes, you will help us out. Help us out, guys, and then you will hear audio production for days. All the money we get from this does not go into our greedy pockets. It goes directly into the fund for the show to make it better for you guys. So it's not like we're making money off this thing. But once again, last time, don't want to beat a dead horse or beat a great audiobook, but audibletrial.com/SGC64 for your free audiobook. Sign up. Don't be afraid to give away your credit card information. They're not going to hack you. And if they do, I'll kill them myself. I won't be able to
do that. I've seen him do it. Actually, no, Tyler did it. It was a clown.
Yeah, well, let's not talk about that. That was Spooktober Part 1 episode. I also would like to say real quick while we're talking about things that we do that aren't SGC64, I write for NintendoStar.com. We're going to be doing some awesome games done quick coverage when that starts, as will SGC64. But if you like to read some articles, if you're a purveyor of the written word, you can go to NintendoStar.com and check out some of my work. Also, we do work in affiliation with Space Brain Gaming. That's Space Brain, one word, Space Gaming. You can find us on twitch.tv/SpaceBrainGaming. You can go on YouTube. Tons of different stuff. We're going to be doing a Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time series, as well as some other indie stuff. We've been playing an indie game, me and you, but we can't talk about it yet.
No, not yet.
Not in Embargo time, but we will be able to stream a little bit of it as long as the weather doesn't get terrible. So check out Nintendo Star, check out Space Marine Gaming, go to audibletrial.com/SGC64, get your free copy of an audiobook, whatever you want. Well, not whatever you want, but there's a lot of good pickings. Then, email us and stuff and let us know what you picked and we'll listen to it too. It'll be like a friendship experience.
Yeah. Shoot us a link on Twitter. Tell us what you heard.
Yeah. It'll be great.
We have a book club.
Oh my God. Super Gamecast 64 book club. It's going to be so great.
First book is The Secret Life of Pets.
The first book is Inferno.
The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
The Sisterhood of the Traveling Tampons.
God, that's disgusting.
Thanks, Audible.
How do you reel back from something that was that bad?
I don't know, man. We should just... I don't know.
Talking about used tampons, Steep. Steep is a game where you...
Oh my god, that's wrong on so many levels.
Steep is a game. That's all I want to say about that. All
right. Is it like you just play as a teabag and you just sit in some hot water?
It's just one button, and then you have to wait for 3 hours. just dipping teabag, virtually steeping your teabaggings.
And you have to watch the color of the tea and make sure it matches.
Otherwise, it gets too steeped.
That's right.
Oh, baby, a triple. Steep is a winter wonderland game where you jump on a snowboard, and then sometimes you can...
Do you get eaten by a Yeti?
No. Cal played it for... Well, let's say played. Cal... could stand it for an hour and 20 minutes. If you really want to see what it's about, you go check out Space Brain Gaming's YouTube, like I talked about in the ad roll. We have the whole hour and 30 minutes that we streamed. It's basically like an SSX tricky without any of the tricks, without any of the fun. It's open world. Like,
so it's like ski free.
It's like Skate for snowboarding games. Have you ever played Skate?
Very little.
Okay, but you understand like how dynamically different it was from like a Tony Hawk?
Yeah.
Very realistic. Yeah. That's what this is, but it's for snowboarding.
Oh.
So it's not like, let's go!
Snowboarding.
Snowboarding would probably be more fun. A little bit more painful if you're not familiar with how it works, but more fun than Steep. So that's something that came out. I'm sure if you're like a big buff and big buff man and you love, or woman, and you love snowboarding, you love mountains and shit, you might have some fun. The game looks cool. It looks very good, but... That's about it.
Lipstick Pig, you know.
That hey, Lipstick Pig once again. Here's a game, though, that is great. Watch Dogs 2.
Watch Dogs 2.
I finally finished it up. Kevin, you played a little bit of this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm very overwhelmed by it.
It's okay to be overwhelmed. I completely understand that. I did all of the missions, all the side quests, all the stuff. I mean, I didn't do, like, all the races and all that, but all of the unique story-based side missions and main missions I have completed took about probably 35, 40 hours. Damn if that game ain't good, dude. That game is really good.
It seems cool.
I mean, it's just...
It's not my cup of tea.
Do
you get it?
Yeah, I get it. It's deep in the... But no, Watch Dogs 2, we'll talk about this on the Game of the Year episode, but it is shaping up to be just so delicious. Probably one of the best of the year. So if you didn't like the first Watch Dogs, it's fine. Watch Dogs 2 has nothing to do with the first one. There's a little cameo from like the main character of the first one. He's like, but I mean, it doesn't do that. But... It's the Assassin's Creed 2 of the Watch Dogs franchise.
Nice.
This will probably be the best one that there ever is, and it'll slowly go downhill from here until a random one like Watch Dogs 4, Black Flag, and then it's going to be good again, and then you're going to be like, whoa, and then it's going to get shit again, and then out of nowhere, it'll be like, Watch Dogs Syndication. You'll be like, all right, this is actually probably good.
And then there's going to be two side-scrollers.
Ah, no, there's just actually three side-scrollers, and I own them, too, so that's embarrassing. But Watch Dogs 2 is great. We'll talk about it at length on the GOTY Game of the Year episodes. It's great stuff. Headlander.
Hmm?
Have you played this?
No.
Headlander. You really should.
Okay.
You really should.
I can do that.
It's given to us by our good friends over at Double Fine Entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Double Fine hooked us up. Thanks to you guys at Double Fine. Headlander has been out on PS4 for a while, but they did release the Xbox One version. Headlander is a puzzle platformer kind of game. It's hard to describe. Very unique. You play as like a disembodied head that hops off of your body and goes to different people and then controls them and stuff. It's a puzzle adventure kind
of. That sounds fun.
It is. It's very cute. It's very unique. Double Fine is written all over it. They have a very Double Fine sense of style, but it is wacky.
I love Double Fine.
I'm not going to say style over substance because the substance is there, but it's very stylish. Just Headlander, Jesus Christ, play it. It's so much fun.
Okay.
We'll talk about it at probably GOTY.
Okay.
But Headlander, that did come out recently. Another thing that came out recently that isn't huge, Rocket League had an update, and Rocket League has their new Halo map.
Is one of the cars MasterChef's
helmet? No, they don't have a new car with it because they already had the Warthog.
Right.
That was like when it first launched.
Oh, that's cool.
PlayStation had the... Twisted Metal car.
Okay.
Like, right. And then the Xbox version had the Warthog.
Right.
So the Warthog is playable, but now it's actually a map in which, like, you're on Halo. On a Halo.
Okay.
It's really cool looking.
That sounds pretty neat.
I mean, all the Rocket League maps...
Is it like Rainbow Road you can fall off?
No. I mean, okay, it's not good, like Rocket League is pretty much contained because you need the walls to do the aerials off of, so you can't really fall off the map. But it's an interesting map. It'll take me a while to play it to get used to it because they all have different dimensions, but so far I'm really liking it. Cool. It's fun. And that's absolutely free. So if you have Rocket League, you haven't played in a while, shit, update it and start up and at least play a match.
Give it a shot.
It's a brand new free map. Also want to say that they brought back Terminal in Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, also a free map. I'm probably going to play a little bit.
I remember Terminal.
Yeah, I'll probably play a little bit of that tonight with my buddy HD. Shout out to HD. So Rocket League, they did that. Here's a game that came out. We're kind of blowing through these, but it's been such a hectic time of year that I haven't really had a chance to play much of this.
Yeah.
The Last Guardian came out. I didn't even get a chance to play it. Did you?
I have not, no.
Yeah, this is the third in the spiritual successors of Ico, Shadow of the Colossus, and now, fuck, Last Guardian. Oh, my God.
I mean, from what I've read, now, to be clear, this is totally, I have not touched this game. I have not looked into it because I would like to experience it.
Speaking of hearsay.
Completely off of well-founded hearsay because it's, you know, people who have played the game and have written about it. It doesn't live up.
No, that's what I'm hearing.
Which is kind of to be expected. I'm not disappointed by that. It's somewhat realistic to assume that, I think.
The main thing is that there's a certain amount of hype that got built up around this game.
Exactly.
And what I'm hearing, you know, we played it on Space Brain Gaming. Marcus and Cal took a peek at it. They walked away and they were satisfied. But from what I understand, it's kind of looking like a PS3 game. Because it was in development for PS3 for a long time. I mean, this game, it's like, I'm not going to say it's like Duke Nukem Forever, but any game that takes over 10 years development can either come out, or it can come out like real damn good. And Last Guardian is like,
I think we should talk about it more when we actually play it.
Yeah.
But speaking of games that take 10 years to develop.
Final Fantasy. Final Fantasy 15. I have played maybe 12 hours of this game. Oh my God, they're the Backstreet Boys. They're just the Backstreet Boys. You're just a Backstreet Boy. All right, I'm not gonna. I usually don't play Final Fantasy games, but I've played this one. I paid attention. You play as Noctis. He's the prince of this kingdom. You're going to get married to this other girl, so you guys can, you know, fuck, and then there's a treaty involved or some shit like that. And then you are essentially on your way to the wedding with your group of bodyguards slash friends slash...
Butler.
Yeah, your royal crew.
Your royal butt.
You got like a dude named Prompto, a dude named Gladius. I forget what the other dude's name. I don't know. They're cool. They're all like, there's one who's big and brawny. He's like, hey, I'm a big old beefcake and I'm the tank. And then there's Prompto and he uses guns and he's kind of quirky like Sora. And then there's the dude who's just got glasses on. He cooks and he's like, fuck off, peasants. That's pretty much his whole deal. There's a lot of pros and cons to this game. Pros, it looks great. Absolutely awesome. Cons, I don't want to fucking drive everywhere. And when I do fast travel, I want it to be not as, not take as much time as if I didn't fast travel. Also, the combat is literally you hold down one button while the camera tries to,
keep up.
Yeah, tries to keep up.
Trying to keep this under wraps.
Okay. Yeah, so it's a decent, I'm about 12 hours in. It's decent. Right now I'm at the part where Prompto is like, let's go check out some chocobos. There's a few ease of access things that could have been done. They could have taken the hunting missions and not made you turn them in every single time you finish one, because oftentimes you like get the mission, they have to like drive somewhere, go off into like walk 5 minutes into the brush, fight something, and then retrace back, get another one, and then do the same thing. If you could just pick up three or four at a time
and just do them all, and then would have been back.
Yeah, muy bien. So
Final Fantasy. I hear the story is really hard to follow too, because there's a lot of an implied story.
Okay, here is where I stop at the story, okay? Story is easy to follow for the beginning. At a certain point, there's a character pops up on screen, and there's a little dog with her, and they're not saying anything, and then she pulls something out of the dog's hand, and then all of a sudden this woman appears that I've never seen. I have no context for her, and she looks at the girl, and the girl looks at her, still no dialogue, and she holds out her hand, there's a ring in it. And then, like, a little thing comes up. Like, whenever a new character appears, they like, a little name thing will pop up. And just a little name thing pops up. It's, like, the sacred ring or the whatever. And then it just looks at her face and looks at her face and then fades to black. And I go, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
What the fuck was that?
Yeah.
I don't understand. And that's the problem, is that what I hear is that as the story continues, it gets almost unintelligible and then kind of wraps up towards the end.
Yeah.
And tries to hit you in the feelsy box.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm 12 hours in. I'm only, like...
I don't know. It's Kevin just unveiled a photo of Hank Hill and his pals on a road trip, and then the caption is Final Fantasy 15 2016.
I'll tweet that out.
Yeah, tweet that out. Throw that up right now, and then they'll know exactly when we recorded this. That'd be pretty funny. So yeah, Final Fantasy 15 is, you know what? For being a 10-year-old game, being originally 13 verses, like, it's actually pretty decent.
Yeah.
And for being a Final Fantasy game, and I'm not a Final Fantasy fan, really, this game's pretty damn good. It's fun. It's just got quirks. There's problems with it that I feel like Western developers would have foreseen because they know how lazy we are as game players.
Right.
Whereas Japanese development is a lot about, like, the environment and pulling in. So there's some really cool shit that goes on while you're driving. But at the same time, like, I don't want to drive 3 minutes to the next thing, so let me fast travel. And the running takes so long. And you can't even control your car. I'm not going to go on it. I'm not. I'm going to wait till Tyler comes back because he's played it. We'll talk about this more.
I'm going to play it.
You play it. Last but not least, Dead Rising 4.
I played a little bit before we started, actually.
I played about halfway through. Here's the thing. Dead Rising 4 is a good game if you haven't played Dead Risings before. As a comparison to the past of the series, it is not. It's not good.
As a newcomer to the series, I think it's funny, but I have a feeling it wasn't always.
Yeah.
Like, it took itself seriously previously.
That's weird, because 1 was not serious at all, 2 was not serious at all, and 3 was pretty serious.
But any game where you strap grenades to a sledgehammer can't be that serious.
Yeah. It's weird, because 4, like, doesn't really know the tone it's trying to grab. Sometimes it's, like, B-rate serious, which is shitty, and sometimes it's really, really funny. But Dead Rising 4, it's a good time. It's just the least Dead Rising game that's come out under the Dead Rising moniker. We'll talk about this in GOTY because I'll finish it up by that time. But yeah, I mean, if you're a huge fan of Dead Rising 4, you're probably not going to enjoy it as much as you would have hoped. But it's still a decent time. My biggest complaint with it is that the tone of the game, not the tone, the visual tone is too dark. Like, it's too dark. The whole point of Dead Rising was that you were in these big, fluffy, not fluffy, but these big, colorful, bright, very distinct areas in the mall, and then this, everything's just kind of gray and brownish.
There was a weird color scheme,
and I just don't have any interest. And in the originals, it was very easy, or it was very difficult to find good weapons, and you'd have to like research them and combine them. And now you can just pick up a random like superpower weapon on the ground. So the want to explore and find these secrets is not really there anymore.
Right.
But as a open world adventure game, it's good. It's fun. It's just, it's the fourth of a series, and at this point, they're kind of losing the muster, or the luster, I would say.
Right.
That's kind of it for the games that have come out. Pokemon, how far are you? Pokemon,
I am finishing up I got to the Aether Paradise place.
Oh, okay. You were, like, just behind me. I'm now going to Executor Island.
Oh, cool.
So you're, like, maybe 3 hours behind me.
Yeah.
Getting close.
I'm almost to 100 Pokemon, and I'm about 31 hours in.
I have not checked. I'm like 48 hours in, but then again, I think it's kind of, the timer is kind of fucked up on mine.
Okay.
I need to trade you my Haunter so we can get a Gengar.
I'm the trade bitch for everyone. I've done that about 6 times now.
Well, you're the only other person I know that's around me right now that has a 3DS that has the game. Huh? So before we wrap up the show, there's a few things I want to talk about. GOTY show, the game of the year. We're going to be talking about our game of the year picks. We're going to have several categories. That's going to be after Christmas, probably January 2nd show. Maybe a little bit after, depending on how things stack up. But it will be like the first few weeks of January. We're going to be doing GOTY stuff. And then we're also going to be doing Awesome Games Done Quick coverage.
Yep.
The week after Game of the Year. So that's what's coming up in the pipeline. Then also we'll have a Christmas special. We'll have something under wraps for you guys coming out around Christmas, either
a little present,
Eve or Christmas itself, or maybe the day after, depending. You'll have something there. So with that said, Kevin, do you have any closing words for the audience?
I do. I actually have a couple of
Do you have any fun facts?
I do. I have 2.
Okay. Well, then before you give away our fun facts, let me just tell them things real quick. If you guys want to reach us on Twitter, Twitter's popping. It's where we give away games. We've given away 3 games now, I believe, at this point. Cluster Truck, Saturday Morning RPG, something else I can't remember. If you want to be part of those giveaways and you want to get free games, just follow us at SuperGameCast64. If you want to talk to us personally, I'm at SGC64 Matt.
I'm at GingerBeer_man.
And Tyler is
a beverage.
Oh, fuck.
Wow, you did Tyler's bit.
I did Tyler's thing too. I cut you off. Holy shit.
He's here in spirit.
One more time.
Gingerbeard underscore man, beer like the beverage.
And Tyler's is at T. Tremolo if you want to reach out to him. We also on Twitter with Space Brain Gaming. You can look us up, Space B Gaming. If you want to email us, that's at SGC, not fucking at. It's SGC64mail@gmail.com. Also, go on iTunes. Leave us a review. It helps out so immensely. You have no clue how important the charts are in people finding us.
In morale.
Morale is definitely a thing. It's good to see that people like you, but definitely the 5-star ratings push us up higher in the charts, makes a better active community. It's just all around good stuff, and it takes you like literally 10 seconds. And if you want, we read out all of our comments on the air with Review Robot 2K12 3000, who hasn't been booted up in a while.
Let's dust him off.
But yeah, so you can say something funny, whatever you want, dude. We'll put it on the air. We don't care. Just do the review. It's nice. You listen to the show. I know you guys are listening. Do the thing. Be nice. And yeah, that's pretty much all the places you can reach us. Kevin, what's our game fact of the week?
I have two of them.
Two? Okay, give me the first one.
The first one. No,
give me the second. Give me the second one.
The second one.
Give me the long. I want like long before you get a short.
They're both short.
Okay, you lied.
Everyone's favorite Sega game,
Sonic the Fast Hog.
No, The Lion King.
Fuck yeah, The Lion King is so hard.
It's 22 years old.
Aww. So is it finally realizing that their parents lied to it and that they can't become anything they want and that life is much more difficult than they thought?
Yeah, it's like the game you make your kid, the old trope, you know, you make your kid play it and beat it and then they can have a play box.
Yeah.
Once you
beat The Lion King, then you can have your stupid Nintendo Switch Station 4 Xbox One. So it's 22. Great. Happy birthday, Lion King. Big ups. That game is super hard. If you think Dark Souls is hard, I'm pretty sure that's a meme. You think Dark Souls is hard, play Lion King. But no, seriously, like Lion King is super, super, super difficult.
Lion King.
What's
I'm going to be the Mighty King like no king was before.
Did you know Lion King is also a show on Broadway?
I did.
Wow.
I did know that.
Did you know that Aladdin is going to get a live action movie?
No, I did not know that.
In your face.
Oh, hey! Okay. What's the second one? Would you say... Let's say you're playing Mario Party, right?
Oh, I'm having a great time. Kevin, don't steal my star, Kevin!
In the next game, you have to jam the button real quick. Real quick, like.
Tap this real good.
How fast do you think you can do it?
What, clicks
give
per
me
minute?
A realistic, yeah, give me a realistic click per second you think you can pull off.
Four.
Four? Okay, yeah. How fast do you think the fastest person can do?
Clicks per second?
Yeah.
On a N64 controller?
On any controller.
Oh, on a mouse? Shit, probably.
No, not a mouse. Any controller. Any handheld controller.
With all the buttons? Probably like 15.
The fastest human controller presser guy can do it 16 times per second.
Jesus, I was so close.
You were very close.
Wait, just with one button?
Just one button.
Oh, okay, see, because what I do, when you do it, do you just use your thumb kind of like a smacker?
Yeah,
You convulse. I mean, you at home, there's only so many ways. You use your thumb and then you kind of convulse. What I do is I use my two pointer fingers and I tap at it really, really fast in not simultaneously, but brrr, like that.
Yeah.
I don't know which one's faster, to be honest.
I know. It's hard to say because, I don't know, we could get into the theories of it and everything. But yeah, the fastest
the
human...
theories, the conspiracy theories.
No, of like if your fingers get in the way of each other.
Every time I watch AGGQ, the speedrunners, they always do like the convulsing thing like you do.
Yeah.
But I've seen other people do the other thing too. So I'm like, maybe.
Yeah,
like,
I mean...
Preference?
16 per second.
16 clicks per second.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ, find something else to do with your time. You could have pressed someone's clit 16 times and really made somebody have a good day.
Somebody always has to be the best something.
You know what I'm the best at?
What?
Doing this podcast with you.
Oh, yeah.
I love you.
Love you too, buddy.
Aww. All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening to episode 74. 75, we'll be back. And Kevin will be here and Tyler will be here. We'll be doing some stuff probably for Christmas, maybe a special episode. We don't know. We got kind of a break week here. Sorry we weren't around last week. I was super sick. The weather just now got shitty, so it was kind of a rough week. But we're back. We're in the swing of things. Let's go. 2017 is going to be crazy.
We got some cool news coming up here shortly. Maybe, possibly as soon as the next show, you may hear things a little differently.
Yeah. So why don't you just get real excited because things are about to get crystal clear.
Things are about to get popping.
Hey. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next time. Hey, Kevin.
Yo.
For this holiday, you know what you should do?
No.
Stick it to your mom.
She would love that.
I bet she would.